Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, back in studio, back in
what?
The bunker.
What?
Bill Jack also here with us today.
What's that residue on your cheek there?
Yeah, how do you get duct tape residue off your cheeks? I'm trying to figure that out. You had me in the closet for the last
I did.
Able to work my way out
but
of it.
But you're back.
Yeah, I'm back.
And you know, I feel like the Conan O'Brien of late night of the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he took over and Jay Leno, you know, left and, and Conan was settling in and then suddenly here comes Jay Leno again.
Right back again. Yep. Yep.
You know, I thought I had that situation taken care of. I was the Conan O'Brien, and I'm taking over. I'm the Jimmy Fallon.
You look a little bit like Conan O'Brien.
And here you are again.
Yep, I'm back. How do you get the duct tape residue on
cheeks? This is disturbing.
I'll try Goo Gone.
Yeah, Goo Gone.
Bill, thanks for all
sounds,
the help.
Hey,
thanks
sounds like help. A Chinese restaurant, Goo Gone.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Thanks for all the help. You guys did a great job. Appreciate you holding down the fort. I'm sorry.
It was a joy.
Holding down the bunker.
Yeah.
While I was gone.
We actually renovated. We went to a penthouse.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so we could see the panoramic view of the mountains and the eastern plains.
Yeah. I got you a new folding chair.
You did? And you got me a spit cover for the mic.
I did. You know, I want you to know I picked that up yesterday at the audio store down in Denver.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, we're going to do a couple of things on this edition of the program. We're going to get to Ken Ham out at the Creation Museum. He's bringing a lawsuit against the state of Kentucky. But first, this is very interesting from the prayer breakfast. Apparently, it happened just over the weekend. President Obama at the National Prayer Breakfast says people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. Now, this is Breitbart.com. At the National Prayer Breakfast, he reminded attendees that violence rooted in religion isn't exclusive to Islam, but has been carried out by Christians as well. So he went to the Crusades. He referred to slavery.
Wow.
Unless we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ. Now, I got to thinking about this, Bill. I think he brings up a good point. And so I thought, slavery, that's a good point. Now, where have we seen slavery endorsed by some politician? And so I went on the internet because he said it often.
Oh,
it happened a lot. So I thought, where did this happen?
Robert Byrd. Senator Robert Byrd.
Right, okay.
Yeah. He was a KKK member.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But he's also a Democrat.
Right. So they cancel out each other.
Yeah, they cancel out.
Yeah. So I guess that doesn't count.
That doesn't count. I found another one.
Oh,
A search. Apparently, in February of 2012, exactly 3 years ago, slavery was justified in the name of Jesus.
Yeah?
Yeah. At another prayer breakfast exactly 3 years ago.
No
so I
kidding.
Thought, that's uncanny that this guy, the President of the United States, should nail this issue.
Yeah.
But as it turns out, it was President Obama. This is a quote from prayer breakfast just 3 years earlier, my friends. This is a quote from the President of the United States in 2012. It's hard for me to ask seniors on a fixed income, young people with student loans, middle-class families who can barely pay the bills to shoulder the burden alone. I think to myself, if I'm willing to give something up as somebody who's been extraordinarily blessed and give up some of the tax breaks I enjoy, I actually think that's going to make economic sense. Ergo, he's moving right towards his socialist agenda, tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich.
Right.
Which represented the 2016 budget, as you recall.
Mm-hmm.
But now here's the quote. As for me, as a Christian, it also coincides with Jesus' teaching that for unto whom much is given, much shall be required. Meaning, to whom much is given, much shall be required by the tyrannical top-down state. That's what he's saying. Come on,
much
read
shall
between
be
the lines.
Taken. Yes.
Yeah, much shall be taken. Yes, forcibly.
Yeah, that's right. So we now work for the state.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, we're working for the man.
Slavery endorsed in the name of Jesus. We found an instance exactly 3 years ago.
Yep.
President Obama brings up a good point in the National Prayer Breakfast. Yes, slavery has been endorsed in the name of Jesus. the line, all sorts of evil, violence, has been carried out in the name of Christ. And here's an example of it. It's chrome-coated, it's slick, but what he's saying is that the forced redistribution of the wealth, the benevolence of the power state Gentiles. Again, I can use those words because Jesus did. Socialism, communism, endorsed by Jesus per Barack Obama. Now, we got to draw a distinction between voluntary giving and forced Marxist redistribution of wealth. There's
wait,
a difference.
Well, wait.
There's
wait.
A difference there.
Acts 4?
Yeah.
You know, Acts 4 where they sold everything and they had everything in common.
Yep.
That's communalism.
Except for the fact in Acts 5, Peter said to Ananias and Sapphira, while it was
yours to give. Let's not put it in context.
Gotcha there.
Let's not put it in context.
Let's pull it out of context, please.
Yes.
You know what? It's not Jesus to force charity. It's Jesus to encourage the voluntary giving from the heart.
Is that why God loves a cheerful giver?
Yes, he does.
And if you force it, you're not very cheerful when you're forced to give.
You know what we get with Jesus? We get what I would like to call, have you heard of the Plastic Jesus?
Yeah.
The song called The Plastic Jesus came out in the 70s. I think it was cool.
My grandparents told me about it.
About Plastic Jesus?
Yeah, they heard it in the 70s. Yes, they told me when I was a child.
Well, here's Gumby Jesus. You know who Gumby is?
Gumby.
You know,
Jesus.
Explain Gumby to the audience.
Gumby was this cute little character. You could stretch him. Okay?
Yeah,
you could bend him.
And bend him. Yeah. You could tie his arms around his legs.
He had, what was his pony's name?
Can't remember.
Okay. But they Gumby, it was kind of like the original Stretch Armstrong,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep. Yep. And, this is Gumby Jesus. Now, I think maybe somebody should create the product.
Gumby Jesus, so you can mold him into anything.
And sell him at Target or Walmart.
And sell
it to politicians. They would buy.
Yeah, then there could be the Play-Doh Jesus.
Sure. Turn him, twist him, mold him.
Mold him, whatever.
Way you want to. There's all sorts of Jesuses
out
there.
Break me, mold me.
Got the Santa Jesus.
Bend me.
You ever heard it? Remember the song Santa Baby?
Yeah. Yeah,
Santa Jesus.
I just got that. Thank you so much. I just got that out of my head.
Yeah,
I just got it out of my head.
After 6 weeks.
Thank you, Santa Baby.
Yep. But anyway, there's Santa Jesus. Santa Jesus will get you anything you want.
Yeah.
There's Sappy Sentimental Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Tattoo Jesus.
There's Grandpa Jesus.
I wrote the book on that one.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Yes,
yeah,
that's right.
And there's the Gumby Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. And getting back to the story, Obama. At the National Prayer Breakfast this year, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ, as in the forced redistribution of the wealth. So that's one example. You know what? People have justified abortion and homosexuality in the name of Jesus, too.
Well, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And that is different than Jesus saying.
Again, President Obama, people have committed all sorts of atrocities in the name of Christ. And we would include it under that category, abortion and homosexuality. Why? Because the only way you can define atrocities is by the moral law of God.
True.
You can't define it by Jeffrey Dahmer.
Mm-mm.
Can't define it by President Obama. Can't define it by the Democrat National Convention.
Nope.
You got to define it, and not by the Republican National Platform either. You got to define it. You got to define atrocities by the definitions provided in the laws of God. Otherwise, it's going to be a crapshoot.
It's going to be Play-Doh.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be
back to Play-Doh.
Gumby.
Yep. Okay, so LifeSite News, this is May 9th, 2012. I'm going back about 2.5 years now for this one. Obama endorses gay marriage, says support based on Jesus and the Golden Rule. LifeSite News, May 9th, 2012. Again, folks, people have endorsed all sorts of atrocities in the name of Jesus. President Barack Obama has flip-flopped on gay marriage for the second time, endorsing same-sex marriage in an interview today. This happened 2.5 years ago now. This is no new news. In which he said his decision was motivated in part by his Christian faith and his belief in the Golden Rule. Talks about he and his wife. We talk about it for years. We're both practicing Christians. You know, when we think about our faith, the thing at root we think about is not only Christ sacrificing himself on our behalf, but it's also the Golden Rule. Now, as it turns out, Christ sacrificed himself on our behalf for our sins because we violated the laws of God. That's the little part, just little part there that's usually left out.
Yeah, he didn't want us to be good people or better people. He wanted to be transformed people, a new creation.
Obama previously implied the Bible supported homosexual unions. I believe, this is the quote, in civil unions that allows a same-sex couple to visit each other in a hospital, transferred property, etc. If people find that controversial, then I would just refer them to the Sermon on the Mount, which I think, in my mind, for my faith, more central than an obscure passage in Romans. Stop for just a moment. Seems to me a little pick and choose. Obscure piece of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5.
Trumps
in another obscure passage
in Romans.
In Romans chapter 1.
You know what this is? You know what this is? It's called the Red Letter Edition.
I think this is called Gumby Bible.
Yeah.
I think we're back to Gumby Bible.
If it's the Red Letter Edition, don't let him pull the Red Letter Edition. If Jesus didn't say it, then it's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, because all Scripture is God-breathed.
Mm-hmm.
All Scripture is given by inspiration. So don't let people pull the Red Letter Edition and say, well, Jesus didn't say those words. That was Paul.
Also, 2010 CNS story, Barack Obama invokes Jesus more than George W. Bush. So they did a comparison between George W. Bush as president and Barack Obama as president. Which of them used Gumby Jesus more than the other? Was the question that was asked by CNS News. Did the study found out Barack Obama, far more likely, I guess, to gain some support from the 44% of Americans that still attend church. And they say he's done it while talking about abortion, the Middle East, and the economy. So that was, again, friends, all sorts of atrocities have been justified in the name of Jesus, according to Barack Obama, and we have found three instances of that in the last 3 years. All right. Well, we're going to go to Ken Ham and the Creation Museum. Believe it or not, Ken Ham is being discriminated against by the state of Kentucky.
No.
That's right. Apparently, there is a tax rebate.
In the name of Jesus? In the name
I'm
of
sure.
redistribution of
maybe
wealth?
Maybe so. Maybe in the name of the President of the United States. Certainly in the name of we don't like whatever Ken Ham is doing. But there is a tax rebate available to anybody who doesn't believe in God, who believes in naturalistic evolution, who believes in whiskey. There are whiskey museums in Kentucky that use this tax rebate.
Ooh.
You know, there's all sorts of worldviews. There are the whiskey worldview, the evolution worldview, the purely naturalistic worldview. But if you've got a supernaturalistic worldview where you believe in God, you can't use this tax rebate in the state of Kentucky.
Oh, so the museum can't tap into the rebate.
No.
You know what my favorite museum? It was in Minnesota. It was the Museum of Questionable Medical Practices. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what did they do?
And these were all the quackery stuff, all the quackery stuff that was promoted as science.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like phrenology.
So do they get a tax rebate?
I would assume they did, but that's Minnesota. I don't know if they have that, but here we have the quackery of the government, and they're saying unless you toe the line and speak our political speech, our worldview, you will not get a rebate.
So Ken Ham has taken this to court, and it makes a lot of sense. Just a couple of days ago, I was reading my devotions in Acts chapter 16. Here's Paul thrown into Philippian jail. Remember this?
Yeah.
He gets out. The rulers say, just let him go. Paul said, no, not going to work that way. You guys come down here.
Yeah.
I need an apology. You come down here. I am a citizen of Rome, and based on the rights provided me by the constitutions of Rome, you come down here. I need an apology. I'm not walking away from this.
Yeah.
He had it in their face. And they came down hands and knees.
He wasn't a very nice guy. Let's play nice.
That's beautiful. There's a man of integrity. Mm. There's a man. Yeah, he's persecuted, but he's going to still press the legal requirements in his benefit. He's going to insist on justice as best as he can. In that situation, same thing's happening in Kentucky with AIG. Some people say, you shouldn't take them to court. No.
What? Now, here's the underlying question. Here's the underlying question. Yeah. Why is he taking them to court? Is it, For his pound of flesh? No, that's because it's for justice.
Because for justice.
For all, not right. Justice for some, sure. Justice it's, for
it's,
all.
It's justice for Answers in Genesis, but also justice for evangelicals in America.
Others who would build a museum.
Sure. Ken Ham has told me that if we don't hold the line right now, the forces of darkness, the forces of evil will run Christians over, and it's our responsibility.
That's right.
To toe this line. Absolutely. Yep. Okay, in just a moment, Ken Ham is joining us on the Generations broadcast. We want an update as to what's happening with the Ark. By the way, I was backstage with him for a couple of hours last weekend. Wow. We got a $75, $80 million project. This may be the largest monument ever built by evangelical Christians, and he wants it for an evangelistic outreach to millions. He believes that he's going to get 1 million visitors a year, probably the largest evangelistic outreach ever. Wow. The vision of this guy is incredible, and he's doing it in a period of time in which America is becoming increasingly secularized. But there's a guy who's towing the line, fighting a good fight, hanging in there, and I think we need to get him.
Yep. Well, and on the other hand, you've got the government building a Tower of Babel.
Yeah. Yeah. Be back in just a moment, friends. This is the Generations Radio Broadcast.
Oh, my, Pam, Drew. Oh, ever since your father died, I'm just having trouble living here alone.
Mom, I guess you're right. We do need to find a place that can take care of you. But they just built that new fancy-looking assisted living place, and I'm sure you'd love it there, right?
But, Drew, how much would that cost, and isn't that like 50 minutes from either of us?
Yeah, I know, but Mom's got money, and I'm sure there's plenty of people there that would keep her company.
Oh, yeah, but spend Mom's every last dime, and sure, there are people there, but nobody she knows. Mom, we've been praying about it, and well, we want you to live with our family.
What? Pam, no
way.
Oh,
Pam, no. I don't want to burden you. I could never. You have children to care for. Mom, we love you, and yes, it may take some adjusting, even changes, but we want to honor you this way.
Really, Pam, do you think you can do it?
But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God.
Christian Family Elder Care. Restoring honor, thriving as caregivers. Visit ChristianFamilyElderCare.org.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast, my friends. We're going to go to the Creation Museum Project out in Kentucky. And Ken Ham, who's president of Answers in Genesis, is joining us right now. This late breaking news is that the Kentucky state government is not on board with this project. And I want to get an update from Ken Ham as to how things are moving along. Ken, welcome back to the Generations program.
Hi, it's great to be with you again.
Ken, the ARC project, let's say, first of all, is on track. You gave us a tour of some of the stuff behind the scenes happening with that project. And give us an update. Is the thing going ahead? Are we going to be opening this thing in the next year or two?
Yes. In fact, the ARC project, which is the building of a life-size Noah's Ark out of wood, you'll be able to walk through and see exhibits that answer all sorts of questions. It's going to be the biggest timber frame building actually in America, actually in the world.
Wow.
So it's going to be quite a tourist attraction. It is on schedule to open in 2016. Construction is underway right now, and most of the permits have been obtained and the contracts let and so on. This is going to be one of the major outreaches, I think one of the greatest outreaches of our era of history, to reach people with the truth of God's word. Probably between 1.2 and 2 million people, according to the research that's been done, will come to the ARC Project 60% unchurched, and they're going to walk through and see questions answered and also hear a message about the fact that as Noah and his family went through a door to be saved, so we need to go through a door. Jesus said, I am the door. And, you know, as you know, the Creation Museum has already attracted 2.3 million visitors since it was opened 7.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, this is taking this to a whole new step to really impacting the culture concerning the truth of God's word.
It is a key project, maybe the largest impact evangelicalism will have in this decade or even this century. And yet the state of Kentucky is giving you grief on the tax rebate issue. And why don't you let us in on what's happening there?
Yes, in fact, what happened was this. See, the Kentucky state government has a tourist incentive rebate program to attract tourist facilities into the state to bring economic dollars into the state of Kentucky. In fact, it's a fantastic incentive program, so much so that other states have since adopted similar sorts of incentive programs as well. And it has nothing to do with, you know, the funds to actually build a facility. We have to be able to build the ARC and open it. But once you're open, if you're approved for this tax incentive program, which is offered to any organization, company that fulfills certain requirements that outside consultants actually go and look at for the government and make sure they fill the criteria, which we do, and the consultants actually did the whole research on us and said that we fulfill the requirements, then once you're opened, the new sales tax you generate from within the park, you can get a rebate beginning after 12 months, a rebate of a certain percentage of that as an incentive. Mm-hmm. And that's because it brings hundreds of millions of dollars into the community,
okay.
All these new taxes and so on. Well, the Kentucky state government denied Answers in Genesis that tax rebate program because they use words like, you know, we can't proselytize, we're a religious organization, we can't show preference in hiring, all things that are not part of the act, the Tourism Incentive Act, and all things that go against the laws in America, federal laws and state laws. So basically it comes down to viewpoint discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
They're denying us because we're a Christian organization.
It's religious discrimination. And
it is.
It's a secular state coming after religious organizations who are taking their viewpoint. There are other organizations, other museums are able to take that rebate in the state of Kentucky.
Well, here's the thing. A bourbon distillery museum has received that tax incentive rebate
mm-hmm.
program and been approved for that. The Speedway, other theme parks. You know, when you look across this nation, one of the things that you notice is that more and more we see the free exercise of religion being restricted. You see a number of examples of that across this nation. And we see moves now, more and more, from the government that, you know, you can have freedom of religion, a free exercise of religion within your church,
mm-hmm.
Within your home, particularly when it comes to Christians. You know, the secularists are able to impose their religion on the public school students, on the culture as a whole, but more and more Christians are being restricted. And one of the things that happens is this. If Christians don't stand up and do something, if we just let this happen, then more and more we'll lose those freedoms. And we believe we have to make a stand, a very public stand, because it's an infringement of our rights. It's treating Christians as second-class citizens. And, you know, really, what we believe happened behind the scenes is that the Freedom for Religion Foundation, the Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, secular organizations that have been across the country trying to get any semblance of Christianity in the public arena removed, coming against Christians in that way. They're the ones that actually wrote to the state government of Kentucky, put pressure on them, and it seems that they bowed to the pressure of these outside the state, secularists. This is the sort of thing that's been happening across the nation. And, you know, Christians need to wake up and realize, even those that don't agree
mm-hmm.
with us on our
mm-hmm.
stand on Genesis need to realize they should stand behind this, because this is to do with the freedom of religion, the free exercise of religion in this nation.
I was reading my devotional this week, Acts 16, the Apostle Paul arrested, thrown in the Philippian jail. Remember that story? He gets out, and he said, hey, those authorities that govern this city, you come down here. I'm a Roman citizen. I need a formal apology for the way you treated. There's a full court press applied by godly Christian men to hold these men to account. And that's what you're doing in the state of Kentucky. You're bringing a lawsuit.
We are bringing a lawsuit against the state of Kentucky. The governor is named in that lawsuit as an official of the state. And, you know, we're going to launch this lawsuit. It's got headline news already. It'll be a very high profile case. We believe it's going to set a major precedent in this nation.
Mm-hmm.
Of what we're doing is, we're actually telling the government they need to obey the laws.
Yeah.
And the laws are very clear on this issue. The laws are very clear in regard to religious organizations, do have an exemption under the Civil Rights Act, Article 7, the Act of 1964, in regard to preference for hiring. There's a Kentucky statute that allows religious organizations exemption for preference in hiring. That was another issue in regard to why we launched this lawsuit, and other states have similar exemptions. And we need to stand and say, no, we are a Christian organization. Just because we're Christian means we can't be denied access to a program that's considered facially neutral. What do you mean by facially neutral is it's offered to any group. Just because we're a Christian group and have a Christian message, why should that program not be offered to us? That's against the law. They can't do that.
Ken, how can folks, we had a lot of folks in our listening audience that support what you're doing. How can they get behind the ARC Project right now? What would you suggest?
Well, to get behind the ARC Project, they can go to our website, answersingenesis.org, and connect right through there to the ARC Encounter page. It's called ARC Encounter, and ARC Encounter has its own website, arcencounter.com, but they can go there and read about the ARC Project. And if they want to read about what's happening in regard to this lawsuit and see a video press release where I interview our chief counsel, Mike Johnson from Freedom Guard, and also some other video clips giving you more details, and when the documents are filed, which will be very soon, those documents, the actual complaint will be on that website as well. And we have a special website called answersforfreedom.org, answersforfreedom.org.
And pray, folks. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. I know that you guys have worked on this by hook and by crook to get this ARC Project off the ground, and this thing's going to be floating here in the next year or so. But we need to be praying for you folks.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and I appreciate that. Yes, because this is going to be precedent setting. This is a major issue, and I think you're going to find the secular media of the world is going to be looking at this. Already the secular media across America are reporting on this, the fact that we said we're going to launch this lawsuit, and as we file those papers, this is going to become a major news item.
Ken Ham, Answers in Genesis, once again on the Generations broadcast. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
As we wrap up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast, let me encourage you to some resources available at generationswithvision.com. First of all, my book, Apostate, give you a little bit of the philosophical ideas that undergird the secularization of the state of Kentucky, that undergird the secularization of and the development of a materialistic evolutionary worldview through the public schools in America, the mass apostasy in the West. Get my book, Apostate, available at generationswithvision.com. Also, my book on culture will explain the influence and the power of Katy Perry and the cultural influences of our day. There has been a massive centralization of power in cultural devices today, much more than there was when Farmer Boy was plowing the fields in upstate New York in the 1870s. Things have changed dramatically, and we need to understand the cultural influences of the day, the power of culture, the importance of culture, and how culture affects our children. Get my book, The Tattooed Jesus, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.